على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى has brought us into the months of Hajj now. The months of Hajj have started. Al-Hajj Ashhurun Ma'lumat. So as soon as Shawwal comes in, the Mubarak months of Hajj also come in. So Muslims, after their very grueling exercise in Ramadan, where they made tremendous sacrifices to please Allah through their ibadat, now they are being prepared to appreciate the idea of qurbani and adhiya and sacrifice, and understand that the Muslim ummah must always be in a mode, in a mood to continue the practices of the Anbiya, the Prophets, alayhimus salatu wassalam, and to represent them for the remainder of the year. And this should be the mindset and the mood of all Muslims as we're now approaching, as I said, the Hijjah and the Eid of sacrifice and so on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed his deen and his sharia very perfectly in a very organized, systematic way, where only he can design these ibadat and these rituals the way he has designed them. The beauty of Islam is in the generosity of the lawgiver. The lawgiver is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his vicegerent, he's also a lawgiver. So we see that in order to appreciate what Islam is, and many people want to identify Islam with politics and Islam with justice and Islam with love, which is all fine, but that's a very secular understanding. It doesn't define or capture the spirit of Islam, where Islam is both form, body and spirit. The two go together. You can't separate the two. So as we appreciate Muslims trying to fight oppression in the world, and especially in Gaza and other places, which we should do, and we are trying our best to do whatever we can within the limited abilities that we have. But at the same time, we must also appreciate that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at all times continued his ibadat and his worship of Allah throughout his life, regardless of the political climate and the political situation around him. In fact, when the political climate became not so good, he increased his ibadah. He didn't run away from ibadah. At the time of Badr, he increased his ibadah. He stayed up the whole night in dua, and dhikr, and Abu Bakr had to stop him. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, if you continue like this, you're going to die. So, take it easy. Come." So community service, public service, doing things for the ummah at a state level, at a political level, that's all good, fine. And we should do it, there's no doubt. There should be groups of people who do this and take on the responsibility and burden of trying to organize Muslims through these various avenues and, whatever, human rights, make sure Muslims aren't being persecuted or profiled here in this country as a defensive measure. That's good. But for the individual Muslim, this you do as a group. You can't fight injustice as an individual vigilante. You need a group. You need an organization. This is the Quran says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. That there should be a group amongst you who call people towards goodness. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And they enjoin the good and they forbid the evil. So that there has to be a group of people. It's not a one-man show. One man can't do all of that work because you need organization and you need support. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَالَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah is the one who helped you with His help, but also, just as importantly, with the help of the Sahaba. وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah's help comes to the Nabi, but then the Nabi is further supported by the group around him. وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. To show the need for organization. So the idea of fighting justice and making sure Muslims' rights are protected and all of that, that's good, but it has to be ijtimai. It has to be at a group level. There has to be organizations who take on this responsibility and this responsibility, and it has to be organized and segmented where everybody in the world don't jump onto the same bandwagon. So there has to be a group designated for that. We're getting there slowly. We do have groups doing this and that. Allah give them tawfiq and support, inshallah. But what I'm saying that Islam remains an individual obligation for every Muslim, regardless of the political climate. Regardless of what's happening in Gaza, every Muslim has to remain Muslim. And every Muslim still has to do what he needs to do to procure najat and salvation. That's the individual fard. That's what we call fard ayn. Fard on the individual. We can't escape that because we're concerned about the oppression in Gaza or Kashmir or Rohingya, whatever. We should definitely try and do everything we can at a group level, societal level, to combat that. But what I'm saying is that at the individual level, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that inna laka fi nahari sabhan tawila, that you'll have a very long rotation in the day. Fi nahar. In the day, you're going to go out and you're going to preach, you're going to tell people Islam. Sabhan tawila. A very long swim, the word sabhan. You'll be engaged with people. As you engage with people, you cannot forget your individual ibadah with Allah. So then the next size. Wadhkur isma rabbika. Watabattal ilayhi tabtila. The very next ayah. You'll be occupied with people in the day, giving da'wah. But what do you do then? Then you go into the night, and then you mention the name of your Lord, and you totally focus on Him. وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. Disconnect yourself from the world, and focus on Allah, so that you can gain and acquire the nur from Allah. You are your batteries charged so that you can use that energy in the day. This is the dual mission. And this is not something that you can compromise with. You can't separate the two. So as you're talking about justice, injustice, human rights, this and that, you have to talk about your ibadah also. It is necessary for the Prophet ﷺ, it was fard for him to wake up for tahajjud. He didn't have a choice. Allah made it fard. And then the Sahaba, they followed. The Sahaba, as they are engaged with da'wah, alhamdulillah, all the time.
How do you think Islam spread if they didn't do the da'wah? Islam only spread because the Sahaba went out and engaged with the world. And they brought people into Islam. And they made the effort. They were in jihad. But then when you look at the description of the Sahaba, how does Allah describe the Sahaba? He doesn't say that they were freedom fighters. He doesn't say that. Or they were out for justice. Or they changed the economic system of the world. Very critical that we have our world view correct when it comes to participation and devotion to Islam. How do you define Islam? Is Islam defined simply by human rights? Or is there something else which is very special and very individualistic and very sacred and very private? We'll get to that in a second. If you ask converts, why are you Muslim? They won't say, oh, Islam has the best economic system. Because it doesn't, or Muslims don't. They won't say that I'm mesmerized by the architecture of Islam. I love Islamic art. They won't say that. Oh, I believe that the Islamic political system is the best, ideal. They won't say that either. The response you'll get from every convert is, I am Muslim because I have found a way to salvation. I have found a way to Jannah. That's the answer you'll get. What does that mean? It means they're looking for something much deeper than addressing the social ills and vices of the world. For addressing the political ills and vices of the world. They're looking for something that speaks to their heart. So they will say, I found a way to salvation and to Jannah. In the now define Islam. Or redefine Islam. You have to get the formula right first. That's necessary, as I said. We're not saying disengage, we're saying engage. But make sure that you are Muslim for the right reason. Now, God forbid, nothing's happening in the world. We're just as oppressed as we were 100 years ago. We're just as downtrodden. So did we now give up Islam because the political system is not correct? No, we're still Muslim. We're here for Jummah. We don't live in an ideal world. So despite not having an ideal world, ideal political system, ideal economic system, ideal cultural system, we're still Muslim. Why? Because we believe in our hearts that Islam is the way for najat, salvation, after we die. That's why we're Muslim. If we get peace and justice throughout the world, alhamdulillah, we'll be the first ones to embrace, and we should make all effort to do that. But Islam is not contingent on any political success. It is contingent on your aqidah, on your belief. It's an individual, private choice that you make willingly that I'm going to accept Islam regardless of any circumstances outside of me. No Muslim would ever say, I give up Islam now. No one does that. Why don't you do that? Because you love Islam for the reason that Islam gives you the key to najat and salvation. That's why you remain Muslim. So we can't contextualize the meaning and the definition of Islam through politics. Politics change every day, 24/7. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Sahaba, He's describing the Sahaba. So wouldn't you think that when we describe a whole group of people who follow the Prophet, who support the Prophet, who are loyal to the Prophet, that you might have some idea of the system that they establish in society? Oh, the Sahaba did this and this. Oh, they were standing against injustice. Allah doesn't say that. I'm not saying Allah. Read the Quran. The Quran says that tarahum rukkan sujjadan yabtaghuna fadlan min Allahi wa ridwana simahum fi wujuhihim min athari sujood. That is their trademark. What is their trademark? You will see them in ruku and sujood. Allah doesn't say you'll find them fighting at Delhi Plaza for justice. He says, you'll see them in ruku and sujood, worshipping Allah, seeking the fadl of Allah, and the effects of their Islam, you will find on their faces because of sajda. You'll see the marks of sajda on their foreheads. That's how Allah described the Sahaba. Now this description is for all of mankind to say that those who are with the Rasul, Muhammad Rasulullah, Muhammad is Allah's Rasul, and then وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, those who are with him, what are the characteristics of those who are with Muhammad? These are the characteristics that they are engaged in individual ibadah. That, my dear brothers and sisters, is the key to our success. That we have to individualize Islam, make it an individual private affair with us and Allah, establish our connection with Allah through nafil, through ibadat, through dua, through dhikr, through reciting the Quran, and at the same time work towards justice when we can and where we can. But you cannot be exonerated because you're working for justice, that you don't do your ibadat. That doesn't work. That formula has never worked. Everyone who's done public service as ulama, they have always maintained their dignity, their honor, their characteristics of nafil ibadat. You'll see them in dhikr. You'll see them in dua. They'll wake up for tahajjud. They'll ask Allah. They will not give up their individual private Islam. If we can promote and propagate and disseminate this understanding, inshallah, there's a lot of hope, because we are connected to Allah. Allah is the one who creates change. People don't create change. 2 million, 5 million people demonstrate in the world against Israel and nothing happens. Nothing has happened. Nothing has changed. But if these 2 million, 5 million people connect themselves to Allah, make dua, something will happen. Because Allah, through our tawheed, you always talk about aqidah, tawheed, everybody's bashing everybody because they don't have tawheed. This is tawheed. You cannot rely on human beings to help you influence change. It is Allah who does that. Only Allah. So we should be connected to Allah, not to the various agencies in the world. You're knocking on the door of the White House for 40 years. They haven't opened the door for you. Why would they? Their system is different from yours. The only door you should be knocking on is the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you remember this message, you will then connect yourself and you'll be at peace. You'll be calm. So, okay, I've done my duty. I've done as much as I can. Now Allah is in charge of the rest. So you do your duty in public service and you engage with the narrative of justice and fighting injustice. But you do not give up your relationship with Allah, because that is not Islam. In fact, you have to cultivate your relationship. You have to improve it. You have to make it better. And that is the message of the sacrifice. the Qurbani. That we're going now from Ramadan fasting towards Qurbani. This is the message that you want to give to yourselves, to your children, to your community, and the whole world. That Muslims remain Muslim, even though nothing changes in the world. Unfortunately, it's gone worse. Allah save us all and protect us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to establish our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to worship Allah the way the Sahaba did. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen.